I'm going to, after I disclose my that I don't have any conflict, I'm just going to jump right into it for a matter of time. I think we all know, and here we're all kind of in a similar mindset, that there's a huge gap between medical education and public health, and that the Institute of Medicine, HRSA, CDC, there have been efforts to try and bridge those gaps in the past, and there's a lot of political and bureaucratic reasons why that's not happening, which I won't get into, but there's a the American Journal of Preventive Medicine in 2012 put out an entire issue about this and actually brought a lot of these players together to try and resolve some of this. And they certainly agree that it's currently two distinct disciplines with different perspectives, goals, and skills. And according to HRSA's current priority areas, one of them is in this integration, saying that our goal should be to create two groups that are part of a single system, which means a collaborative team with common objectives that share the same information systems and that are obviously serving the same patients and populations at the same time. So there's this crossover. And I guess my part of my purpose of putting this out front is because I really believe that some of these gaps can only be brought together. We can only fill in those gaps if there's an understanding on each side of what those disciplines are. So if medical doctors have no idea what public health is all about, how are you really going to break those barriers down? And that's kind of where our program comes in. So the mission of our program is to prepare physician leaders to serve in urban communities. So the University of Illinois at Chicago does have a MPH, combined MD-MPH program. We're not meant to replace this in any way, but it's giving students that are not able to go into that combined degree, giving them exposure to public health and exposure to working in underserved communities in a non-clinical fashion. So we want to graduate physicians, and this is also a bit unique to our program, regardless of specialty. So a lot of programs that focus on public health focus on primary care. And a lot of the argument that you see in the literature is about primary care. And we feel that you could be a radiologist, you can be, an osteopedic physician or, orthopedic physician, but you still need to understand how to work with communities. And this ideally that an individual lives within the context of their family and their society and the things in their environment, and that's going to be beneficial no matter what type of practice you go into. And so some of our roles that we hope that our physicians come out practicing is to be a practitioner, one that is culturally aware and sensitive, that can relate to their patients by really believing in this bi-directional awareness that their patients are the experts of their own lives and of their own health, and coming from that perspective. We want them to be advocates, so patient advocates, that they're going to advocate that this I can prescribe this for my patient, but if they're not going to have any coverage to actually cover what I'm prescribing, having that awareness and saying, I need to do something, I need to be involved in that more of a holistic care to make sure that they can actually afford medicines, for example. Being a researcher, so teaching them the skills that if we identify these problems at the community level, how can they get engaged to actually find resolutions? And policymakers, this is kind of the biggest stretch for them, but believing that there is a role for physicians in policy, that there is often an absence of medical doctors in the role of in the political arena, and yet their perspective is crucial to really, whether it's just a legislative testimony of their position as a physician, but overall that they should be involved in the policymaking process and that they can be and trying to navigate what does that mean. So some of the kind of, I've highlighted the terms that really we emphasize most. So we believe that some of our objectives are that students should be able to understand the social determinants of health and how they contribute to health disparities. Understanding health conditions that are prevalent in urban underserved areas, and Chicago is a wonderful, diverse, diverse communities for applied experience in this area. Utilizing culturally appropriate communication skills, developing competencies in community-based collaborative program planning, evaluation, and research. And this piece we've actually done a lot of emphasis on because we believe that a physician, this idea of developing a mindset, whether it's in your patient, or at the community level, that it's not enough to hand something out, to prescribe something and say, my job is done. But it's this idea that there is follow-up care and that there is this continuity of awareness of did these outcomes work? So we prepare them to ask the questions and to plan a comprehensive program and to believe that you have to evaluate to see if that really was effective or not. And engaging in multidisciplinary teamwork also, which is mostly done in our through the variety of faculty that we engage in teaching our classes, but also out in the fields where we have also PT and OT students doing shorter experiential learnings, but we also try to integrate that. So I want to focus most of my time on the experiences in the community because I think that that's been the richest. Because you can talk about all of these things, and this is what we found actually. The program started in 2005, and you know, at the end of every year we do focus groups with the students, and they're like, you know, this is really great, but how am I supposed to understand health disparities, or how am I supposed to understand social determinants of health? And now I have something that I experience in my own life, and so that's when we started to bring in this experiential, non-clinical experience into the curriculum, and it is now actually the centerpiece of our curriculum, where all of our seminars focus around providing skills that they can actually go into their community organization and apply. So our curricular themes are these four themes: community diversity and intercultural communication, disparities in healthcare access and outcomes, community-based participatory research, and advocacy and policy. And again, these go around the goals of the types of practitioners that we're trying to develop. So, but we also believe, as I mentioned before, the only way to really understand a community, to understand its needs and disparities as they apply to some of these themes, is to become immersed in it. And that is, again, where the what we term longitudinal community rotation comes in. So our curriculum is based on the Kolb cycle of experiential learning. So the abstract conceptualization piece starts in the seminars. So we talk about community-based participatory research. What are the theories behind it? How do you really collaborate with community? How do you identify needs and assets? We do assignments like an asset mapping assignment where the students go out into communities and they identify, you know, broken windows, closed banks, you know, what are the implications of this for health? Really getting them expand their mind around health is more than just treatment of a disease. And then we get them out into the communities. So this is done, and there's a handout of a sample of our partnerships and the UMED project. So the handouts that you have are in relation to this presentation, both of them. And so what we do is we have a bunch of community partners that we've developed partnerships with over the past few years, and I'll explain this in a further slide, but the idea is that the students are aligned in teams of 3 to 4, and they stay with that same team and with that same community organization for all 4 years of medical school. So it's not short term. You're in the same community learning about the community assets and deficits, and you're working collaboratively with the same agency to identify needs and develop a program and develop an evaluation plan for that. And then the students come back into the classroom and share their experiences together. They do different presentations, so that's part of that reflective observation and obviously the concrete experience being in the community itself. So this is going to be a very busy slide, but it's kind of the easiest way to understand how the curriculum and what we call the longitudinal community rotation work in tandem. So we start out, the students come into our program, and we get over 100 applicants, and it's a selective process. So they have to also get into the medical school first, and then once they get to the interview stage, we start reviewing their applications. We accept 24 applicants each year, applicants that have a predisposed interest in working in underserved communities. So we recognize it's not all our program that creates these people, but rather they've done this service already. That's why they're coming into medicine. And research shows that empathy in med school goes down as you go further into med school. We want as much as our capacity organization to nurture that, create a group of like-minded individuals that are inspired and they're going to medicine to help underserved communities and to give back, and that they don't lose that when they start considering debt, when they start considering specialty and subspecialty and all these other things, that UMed is telling them there's people out there that believe in this too, and it's worthy enough to focus on. Regardless of your specialty, you can still give back and serve in this way. So what we do is we start with a bus tour, and the bus tour has evolved from going randomly to different underserved communities to actually visiting each of our, well, not each, but a sampling of our community agencies. So we actually take the 24 students, they haven't started med school yet, we pile them on a bus, and we give an orientation of the geography and the history of settlement in Chicago, a lot of it being immigrant settlement. And then we go and visit the neighborhoods, ask them to do a windshield assessment of what they see in these different communities, and the agencies talk about their mission and talk about the UMed student projects that are currently there and encourage the students to get involved. So it's a very full day, but they end up leaving very, very inspired. Then we have what's called a partner fair, and I have a picture of that on the next slide. And what that is that every other year, so when the students are in their third year, sometimes their fourth year, they can elect to pass their project down to incoming students. So through this way, we've created the sense of sustainability. And what's interesting is only after 2 years of implementation of the partnerships, all of them became sustainable in the sense that students are passing them down. So whereas in the past, when I started 4 years ago, I had to go out looking for the agencies, now they're all a part of UMed, and the students are learning leadership and mentorship skills by passing it down. The other thing that some people don't know is in med school, you could spend, you know, you see your classmates, you end up rarely seeing the M2s, the M3s, maybe in clinical rotation, but it's very, very difficult to get them together and get a relationship going. Our program allows that relationship through this inherent mentorship approach. So the partner fair is we have a two-hour evening where we have, you know, beverages and snacks, and the community partners come up and they set up a table and we put them in a circle. And our 24 incoming medical students have been informed of the community agency and they've done their research over the summer ahead of time. The partner fair allows them, we call it speed dating. It's a meet and greet. They get 10 minutes with each agency to go around and meet them. The agency can take notes on the students, they can ask for further background on the students, and 4 days later, give them a little time to sleep on it. The students told us that don't make us make the decision the same night. A couple days later, they have to turn in their ranking choices. And then based on that, we align the teams based on student skills and leadership, you know, where we feel the match will be good, and we give that to the partners. And the partners have a week to get back to us and say, this looks like a great match or not. So we try and constantly work with the partners to find a good match for the students. So this is pretty small writing up there, but these are actually the titles of the seminar series, and that curriculum, those four prongs kind of go in a spiral approach. So they build upon each other. So kind of a part one, program planning evaluation, part two, and so forth. And during that, so the students actually just a few days ago, first-year students found out who their partners are going to be. And so in their first semester, they're supposed to make a visit, first visit with their site mentor and do an asset mapping assignment of the agency. Go around, eat, you know, go into a grocery store, see what food access is, how does food access affect health, and thinking about things in that bigger way. Then there's kind of the level two of some of these community level applied epidemiology, for example, evaluating their community rotation. So again, what is evaluation? They are asked to do a logic model and to think about long term. They've got a few years in med school thinking about these long term effects. And then we're asking them in the classroom to break out in groups and to assess what does program planning and evaluation mean in the context of your partnership in your community. Of course, this idea of evaluation is an iterative process, but the idea is that once they've been in a year and a half of implementing a program, and again, you'll see the list there, they could be a health nutrition. There's one program working with a bilingual training program for hairstylists in a predominantly Mexican-American community to identify signs of domestic violence in their clients. That's something that our med students came up with. They adopted a national model, applied it to hairstylists, and and teaching them to refer to a domestic violence program. So again, evaluation and sustainability coming in part by passing it down to the other students. And we have developed, last year we developed an online module. The hardest thing for our students, we lose them in their third year. We don't see them, they're in rotations, they're MIA. So this is a way to bring them back into what UMed is all about and teach them some, you know, just to kind of continue that mindset through their third year. And then in the fourth year, unfortunately, I don't have time to get into it, but we have a 2 week, so a 10 days full of policy and advocacy. We bring in physician advocates, physician leaders from Chicago. We bring in congressmen. We bring in the Chicago Department of Public Health, talking about systems level thinking. They're supposed to think about a policy barrier or opportunity in relation to their community project. It could be in relation to refugee health, for example, if they're working with a group of Somali refugees, whatever that might be, and think of it beyond the context of just their community. Think about the systems that might provide or prevent opportunity. And a final paper that's supposed to go back to the community. It can be a program proposal. If the project didn't go out fully to implementation, here's the full scheme of what it would look like in the ideal situation. They could do an evaluation paper. Okay, we went through to the end, we evaluated, we have some data, here's the presentation of the data, or it can be a CVPR grant proposal. So if the agency says, you know, this is great, but we really need some money to actually implement this and institutionalize it, we provide them with the introductory skills to write those grants with the agency. So this is a picture of our bus tour, one of our agency stops in relation to nutrition and diabetes. This is our speed dating community partner fair held in the School of Public Health this year. I'm going to go running a little bit out of time, but I do want to talk about program evaluation and focus mostly on our focus groups, our progress reports of the community rotation, and meetings that we've had with partners. So of our student outcomes, this was among 91 students who were placed in 19 different community organizations. They mentioned a significant increase in knowledge and skills related to program planning and evaluation, and increased self-efficacy to develop public health models that address community healthcare issues and barriers. Some of the challenges the students mentioned was transitioning the projects to incoming underclassmen, and so we've developed a SWOT analysis of their LCR for them to share. Obviously, the scheduling while they're in med school. We asked that they do about 240 service hours in the community over 4 years, which actually doesn't break down to doing that much. And in teams of four, they can kind of share and tag team throughout the 4 years. Continually adapting their programs to meet the needs of community, and obviously working with a nonprofit where there's a lot of staff turnover can be challenging. So I don't have time to read this entire thing, but I think some of the things that stand out, like the student had said in their response, adaptability, humility, willingness to actively engage in uncertainty with an open ear and responsiveness in every situation, teamwork, flexibility, trust, communication, determination, resilience have all characterized areas in which we've striven to grow, just as our ability to receive and give grace and forgiveness in situations where miscommunication and unmet expectations sometimes occur on our side and on theirs. I think that's really pretty much what we love these medical students to come out thinking, the sense of humility, and teamwork and flexibility. Some positive successes, they've seen positive health behavior changes among their community members, a lot of health education events that have been successful, and positive relationships with the community. I love this picture. It's one of our boys that in North Lawndale, it's called the Young Doctors Program, inspiring little kids who want to go into medicine. And they're dissecting goat brains. They're going into the neuroanatomy lab. And here he is asking us three different times who wants to learn about the human brain and the sections of the human brain and telling us all about the heart. And it's been one of our successful projects that is now becoming its own nonprofit. And we've had a couple of experiences where students have gone into residency and they've passed and developed these projects in Cincinnati, in California, and so forth, which is an awesome sign of sustainability and that the stuff is really working. We also have done an evaluation capacity survey with our community partners. So I visit and have interviews one-on-one with them at least once a year, and then we do an online survey. And this was modified from a model of working with disabilities research on community-based collaborative research. What we found is what we thought of is that community partners are often unable to integrate evaluation services into their daily work. They're unable to really incorporate them. And that's one of the reasons we thought our medical students could really give back. If they learn program planning and evaluation, they can not only help provide this, but maybe encourage the agency to emphasize this. That's important. Unfortunately, 80% of them disagreed that at this point in time, after about 3 years, that our evaluation efforts with our students have actually increased staff awareness and capacity building. But I think it's probably a matter of time, and also that they're not necessarily integrated into the entire organization, but rather oftentimes one department or one aspect of it. So also some of the challenges, how do you evaluate the impact on community members? That's our hardest thing. I can't go out, I don't have contact with community members, I don't have trust, I can't go out and ask, how has this impacted you? So we've actually developed an interview tool based on self-efficacy and stages of change for our students, and they are actually going out and required as an assignment to interview their participants and see what they feel that the change has been. And there's obviously a lot of immeasurables. How do you measure cultural sensitivity? How do you know that it's been UMed and not a bunch of other experiences? But nonetheless, I think that our students, I get accolades from our students all the time that have told me this is the most valuable experience in their medical education. So as I mentioned, some of our projects have gone nonprofit, one being entitled UFLOW that's in a couple of states in the country now. We are now inviting our partners to participate in some of our seminars directly. So for program planning and evaluation, if they feel like they never actually learn the skills themselves, come to our seminars and participate in what our students are learning, and you'll also know more about our expectations for our students. So that's something that we're implementing. And obviously, we have to, we're still in the process, some of our first graduates have just come out of the program, so we're in the process of evaluating what are they doing after residency. Are they going and working in underserved communities? Are they coming back to Chicago, for example? So this was our, the first graduating class that I participated in all 4 years, this was their match day, and they made their own t-shirts and everything to commemorate their experience. So thank you so much for your attention.